InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Artificial intelligence is becoming a common tool in creative work, from music to marketing. But how do audiences react when they find out AI was involved? A new study from Florida International University explores the question, and our guest is Professor Joel Carnevale. Professor, your research looked at how audiences react when the creative professionals disclose they're using AI. What inspired you to study this question?
First, I need to just acknowledge the contributions of my co-authors, Anand Benegal and Lynn Vincent at Syracuse University. You know, this is very much Anand Benegal's brainchild here. So Anand has a background in music composition, classical and jazz piano in particular. And, you know, Lynn and I, we study creativity and reputations. And Anand is a PhD student and came to us with the question of, you know, I see a lot of AI use, especially within the music industry. And, you know, it would be cool to look at some patterns to see if highly reputed individuals are protected in any way from their AI use. And so in terms of the reputation literature, there really were two angles we were thinking about here, because it wasn't immediately clear to us in what way one's reputation would interact with using AI. So on the one hand, reputation provides somewhat of an evaluative buffer, a protective shield, if you will, where, you know, you've kind of developed the street cred, especially within creative domains. You can be viewed as forward-thinking or innovative when you use AI. But on the other hand, people who have these strong creative reputations, they're also held to image-consistent behavior. So if you're doing something that is seen as kind of going against the artistic kind of norm of creativity, especially creativity, because, you know, people view it as something that's more intrinsic to the self. That's really what motivated this question was, does reputation kind of protect one from this use of AI?
Some listeners were told the composer was the famous film composer Hans Zimmer, while others were told it was a first-year college student. What differences did you see in how people judged the music?
Actually, we ran two experiments. In the first one you mentioned, we put participants in the role of a consumer evaluating music composed for an upcoming video game. Just as you said, they all listened to the same piece, but half of them were told this composition was created by Hans Zimmer, you know, the famous award-winning composer, and the other half were told it was composed by a first-year music student, someone with a renowned reputation, and then someone barely known. They haven't developed any kind of street cred. Now, within each of these groups, half are told that the work was created in collaboration with AI. We gave them a very general statement. We didn't say to what extent it was, and the other half was given no information about AI at all. So what this allowed us to do was to test two questions. Does disclosing AI use damage how others evaluate your reputation? And if you already had a strong reputation, does it protect you from the hit? And what we found is that disclosing AI use caused reputational damage. It really didn't matter if you have a strong reputation. It doesn't matter if you're Hans Zimmer or a first-year music student. And so reputation essentially provided no protection. The only place actually where it did provide a small buffer, but not enough to actually offset the effect, was we also asked participants to rate how much credit they attribute to the composer versus AI. The composer with the strong reputation, Hans Zimmer, was actually given more leeway. They were assumed to have relied less on AI than the first-year music student. But again, it wasn't enough to offset the negative impact. And I should mention that in terms of this music composition, this was actually created by Anand himself. We told participants that it was composed by a prestigious composer versus a student, but in fact, Anand created the piece for the experiment.
You emphasize that your findings are not an argument against AI itself. What benefits can AI actually bring to the creative process?
I think AI can bring a lot of benefits to the creative process. There is actually existing research showing that, you know, when you give people choices between art that's created by AI and art created by humans, oftentimes they actually prefer the art created by AI until they find out that AI was used in the process. And so this reflects a anthropocentric bias where people prefer, especially when you're talking about creativity that has an artistic flair to it, they prefer the human creativity to the AI. But again, only when they know.
And you see, for example, if you publish a book through Amazon, they ask you how much of the book is AI, if any. So it's getting out there and people are asking about it. Do you think transparency about AI use will eventually become the norm, or might some creators choose not to disclose it because of what you call the reputational risk?
Well, we're already seeing instances where creators are refusing to disclose AI use in their work. There was a recent New York Times piece that covered a novelist. And it was quite interesting. The novelist uses various generative AI models to, I think she wrote like 50 books in a year, I think last year. I think she even wrote one while she was doing the interview with the New York Times. But she uses a lot of different pen names, apparently. And so I think this reflects a real issue. And our study suggests that there is a reputational penalty associated with disclosure. And in fact, in our second study, we shifted to an organizational context and we had participants evaluate an advertising employee rather than a freelance musician. So we were able to get a more granular look at what happens when participants see different types of disclosure. So all participants were given this context of an advertising employee that's highly reputed, they're the creative star in their organization. People come to them constantly for ideas. They've won a number of awards. But across these, we broke it up into four conditions. So some of the participants were told that this person, whenever they're developing their ideas, they disclose using AI for their creative work. Others were told that this is someone who disclosed they use AI only for administrative tasks. So for things like scheduling, to free up time for creative work, but not the creative process itself. Others were told that this person is someone who actively says they don't use AI for creative work. And then finally, in the fourth condition, we told participants nothing at all about AI. So the same person, the same reputation, but different disclosure strategies. And so a few different interesting things came out. The first was that, again, disclosing AI use for creative work hurt the person's reputation just as before. But disclosing AI use for non-creative tasks, it reduced, but it didn't eliminate the damage completely. So even if you're going to position AI as an administrative tool rather than a creative one, it helps, but it doesn't fully protect you. And the one that really surprised us was that actively saying, I don't use AI, offered no reputational benefit compared to just saying nothing at all. So the implication here is that the effects of disclosure of AI use is somewhat asymmetric. For people who are considering whether to disclose their AI use, there is likely a reputational cost that may come with it. So you might have some people who, you know, they're the anti-AI absolutists. Maybe they feel it's going to give them additional street cred by saying, look, I don't use AI at all. Our results, though, suggest that that's not really the case. There's no benefit to just saying nothing at all versus explicitly disclosing you don't use AI.
At the beginning of our interview, you very thoughtfully mentioned your collaborators in this research. If we get to the point where the AI, or perhaps a physical two-legged AI device, has a title and a name that people will actually say they're collaborating with them.
I see a couple of different possible features. On the one hand, the bias towards AI use, whether we're talking about continuing with the current generative AI models that we have or two-legged ones, I think that it indeed may decrease over time to some extent as people become more familiar with these tools. It becomes more ubiquitous. On the other hand, I don't think AI use is going anywhere. But in addition, I could see normalization could make authenticity more valuable, not less. We know that there's already a premium on what you might call artisanal creative work. So if AI floods the market with competent music or content that is either fully or in part generated by AI, the scarcity value of provably human creativity may actually increase. We may see another pathway for more artisanal type of creative work.
Fascinating stuff. Professor Joel Carnevale from Florida International University. Professor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.